Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would stand, let's grab a hymn book and turn to page 135. 135. We're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse on the first.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
On the second,
Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to appear, Jesus our Emmanuel here. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
On the fourth,
come desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now we face, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Well, amen. It's sure good to see you this morning. Amen. It's a blessing to be in the Lord's house. We have the young ones in with us this morning of Children's Church, so it's good to have them. And, you know, we get to this time of the last Sunday before Christmas, so I'm praying that it'll be just a special, special time with our great God. We had a time in our Sunday school class today, and I'm thankful for God meeting with us there, and trust He's going to meet with us in this hour as well. It's good to see our visitors with us. We are so thankful God would lead you to this place and to this assembly today. Pray that God is going to do something that would magnify Him, glorify Him. Jesus, the name above every name, might be lifted up and exalted. It's good to have the holders in town. So thankful. As I looked at Brother Matt, I was thankful he was here and not there. And you know what I mean by there. He's out of Afghanistan. And good to have the first installment of our Christmas clan come in too. We're thankful for the Lord's mercy giving them safety. Well, we worship the Lord today, people. Might our hearts give way to that. Might they desire to magnify and lift up the name, the lovely name of Jesus together today. I just want to begin with prayer. So as we might have our hearts, just pause and look to Him. Father, we bow before You and we are thankful for Jesus today. Thank You, Father, You were pleased to give Your Son. Well, we don't understand it. It's beyond our comprehension, but we're just thankful. Appreciate the God of glory being willing to give His very best for us. And so, Father, as we're gathered in this room for your glory and honor, we pray that, oh Lord, that we wouldn't take for granted your presence. We'd sense your presence. Very real, very powerful way. Lord, indeed, we want to see that power poured out in our midst today. Might our singing honor you. Might our praying be in submission to you. Might the preaching of your word be directed and controlled and overruled by your Spirit. And Lord, again, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus today. For it's in his name, for his glory, we pray. Amen. Let's take a couple of minutes and welcome each other in the Lord.
As you make your way back to your seats, please remain standing and let's turn to page 134. 134, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Sing it with me.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. When I was a seeker, I sought both night and day. I asked the Lord to help me, and he showed me the way. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
All right, we're going to sing the fourth verse this time. Let's sing Go Tell It on the Mountain one more time, then we'll go to the fourth.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. 'Twas humble manger that Jesus Christ was born. The God of all creation became a child at morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord.
You may be seated. with us once more and turn to page 135. We've been singing this as our chorus, but I figured we'd give our third verse a chance to get sung this year on O Come All Ye Faithful. Excuse me, 138, O Come All Ye Faithful.
O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of ages. O come, let us
if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to see this morning's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. I was given a set of keys. Toyota. Anybody missing Toyota keys? Never mind, they're Gabe's. You can't have them. Well, I'll tell you what. I will auction them off. I know what this thing belongs to. So, here we go. Yes, sir, Brother John, I see that hand. Choir practice tonight at 5 o'clock instead of 4:45. Okay, choir practice tonight at 5 o'clock instead of 4:45. I asked him if we left at regular time, everybody show up, and he said no, but he can't be here on time. So anyway on that. So 5 o'clock instead of 4:45 on choir practice tonight. There's several Christmas parties still here to be attended. Line yourself up with them, and if you're it's your class, we'll go to it there. We have a couple of baby showers on January 10th for Rachel West after the evening service, and then for Kelsey. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to give you a heart attack there. A surprise to her on January 16th. So. Anyway, you got a baby shower for that. Let's see. We're coming up on January 31st. We're having an old-fashioned roundup Sunday. Here's an opportunity to invite friends and family. Maybe some folks who just hadn't been here a while, okay? Invite them to come back. We're going to round them up, and we're going to also have a little fun with this. We're going to have a chili cook-off and best costume for the guy and for the gal, and I've already got mine all picked out. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I don't want any copycats. So there's going to be a couples retreat on February 6th, and also in the bulletin, you'll notice there's a little insert. This is concerning the TTU. If you will take the time to fill this out, it's a summary. And there's a box in the back, and drop it in that box if you don't mind. Speaking of the boxes in the back, we've got two sets of boxes out there that we've been putting cards in. Please drop by and gather your mail. And there's a lot back there. So find your, there's two of them, so you're going to check both of them, I do believe, okay? And gather your mail. So if you hadn't dropped any in there yet, take the opportunity to do that. Let's see, what else have we got going on here? I think that's all we need to talk about for right now, sir. Oh, I haven't yet. Everybody, on the way out, we will be passing out some little goodies this afternoon. There's some bags of fruit and candy, and I've already told the kiddos, if you get a Christmas bag that has a blue which Tootsie Roll, which is vanilla, and you don't like it, I love them. So, anyway, so I think that's all we need to announce this morning. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day, Lord. Lord, thank you for the season that we get to come and celebrate the birth of your son. Lord, thank you for just loving us so much that you'd be willing to sacrifice your son for our sins. Lord, right now we're also asking to be this offering you're about to receive. Be the gift and the giver. Lord, please be the preacher. Hide him behind the cross, Lord, and give him the words. But Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. If there's anybody here today that does not know as your Savior, let today be today. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
But oh, how much God gave to
God. We worship Him. Talked a lot about worship this fall. Can we worship Him? We love Him enough to let Him own us, overflow us, be everything to us. I don't know, we want to read both of these passages, just a couple verses in each, in Galatians chapter 4, and then the gospel in one verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16. If you found your place, please stand with me. We'll read in Galatians, we'll go to John. Then we'll come back to Galatians to begin our message. Listen to these words, please. The Apostle Paul, writing to those churches that were scattered about in the region of Galatia, and he says unto them this amazing statement: when the fullness of the time was come, not just any time, the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Then, of course, those ever so familiar words to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ has been dealing with Nicodemus. We come to the end of that passage, and really in verse 14 it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him, that Son of Man, should not perish, but possess eternal life. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we bow before You, understanding, Lord, our great need. Understanding, Lord, that without You we can do nothing. Without You we are nothing. And yet, Father, You are pleased to love us. You are pleased to love this old sin-ridden world in spite of us. And You gave the very best your own Son. So, Father, as we wait upon you this morning, please, please, Lord, have your way. Deal with hearts to the very root of whatever that heart's need is. Lord, it may be there's some within these walls this morning that are yet without this one, without Christ, without your Son. I ask you, Lord, I pray, I plead with you in the name of Jesus that you might hold him up before us today. And Lord, that you might be pleased, in spite of the preacher, in spite of the weaknesses of a man, draw precious souls to yourself. Save, Father, for your glory and for their good. But Lord, for all of us here as well that are saved, Lord, I pray, oh God, awaken in us, Father, a fervor for you, a passion for your Son, an honor, a desire to give you a portion, Lord, even a bit of what you deserve. That Jesus, that name Jesus, be magnified in this place today. Lord, we will give you the glory and the honor as best these frail lips can do. Thank you, Jesus, for saving our soul. It's his name, for his glory, that we pray. Amen. And amen, of course, you may be seated. God sent forth his Son, as we read here in Galatians chapter 4. I asked a question, a couple questions that get us thinking, hopefully, considering a few things. What are we about here, Metropolitan Baptist Church? What are we about? What are we here for? What are we trying to accomplish in and through this church family? What is our very existence about? The world around us comes to all kinds of conclusions about what Christianity and what churches are about. Some have the idea that the churches or preachers are just about creating some powerful organization. Wow. Others come to the conclusion that preachers have collected around themselves a bunch of weak folks that got to have something, a crutch to lean on. Well, I don't know about a crutch, but I'm just thankful I can lean on Jesus this morning. I confess I need him. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed to say I need Jesus Christ in my life today. But do we, who call ourselves Metropolitan Baptist Church, understand what our purpose is? Beloved, our purpose should arise out of what we know from this book. Amen. What God tells us in his word. Our reason, now listen, our reason for being here should be one and the same as God's reason for having us here. We need to as best we can be in obedience to him. Obedience to his word. Is it our desire to be in line with him? I want to be lined up with him. Huh? Do we want to be in line with our God? Well, if that's the case, we need to obey his book. I make no apologies for being a Bible-thumping Baptist preacher. What's been his purposes? What's he seeking to do in this world? Why did Jesus Christ, God's Son, come to earth? When he did, what was the reason? Knowing the answer to those questions helps us. It tells us what we're to be about. You know, I know it's the fad. I know it's the thing of the age and the times about having a plan, you know, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. I just want to be doing what God's doing. I want to focus on what he's focused on. I want my heart to be lined up with his heart, beloved. When that's the case, we won't have to worry about what our 5-year plan is. We'll be on an eternal plan. What's been his purposes? The passage before us says, when the fullness of the time was come, the fullness of the time was come. Not talking about just any old time. The time. When the exact right time was come. Now, there's some things we're going to look at today that I take that back. We're not going to look at some of the things that had to do with bringing that fullness of the times to be just right. Because I want us to focus in on really just two things. The bottom line is, God sent his Son on time, at exactly the right time that he determined from the beginning of time. Huh? It was a divine appointment that our sister sang about a little bit ago. God sent forth his Son. Two ways that we could look at this morning concerning Jesus Christ leaving glory and coming to this earth. His coming to take upon flesh and blood. The sending of God's Son. Struggling this morning. Pray for me. Feel God's got something he wants to say to us. I'm praying he gets it said. God sent forth his Son. It's one thing very important for us to understand. God sent of himself. God sent to us of himself. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is not a created being. He did not begin some 2,000 years ago. He is the eternal Son of God. He is of the same essence and nature of God his Father. We read those familiar words from John chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." When did he begin? He began at the beginning. Huh? He's the eternal Son of God. We don't worship, beloved, today. Hey, we're so thankful that God was pleased. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I'm still trying to get over what we looked at last week about what a wonder is. The wonder of Jesus. That this one, this God was pleased. I don't even know the words that contain himself in the womb of Mary. Asking my son, how did that work? Well, we think of the different ways the Bible describes it, how the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary. But I still don't get it, beloved. that God took up residence in the womb of that woman. Young woman. Oh my. Jesus Christ is God. There are those, oh my. Those that knock on our doors, they call themselves the witnesses of Jehovah. There's others that go around the world over and they want to talk about how they are the Latter-day Saints. But beloved, they betray themselves. They betray themselves because their teaching upon who He is wrong. Their teaching on Jesus betrays them. That, oh, beloved, forgive me. But they blaspheme that name. Amen. When they take away from Him who He is. Yes, sir. He's God. Yes, He's God. The Jewish leadership of His day knew who He was. Knew what He claimed, I should say. They knew what He was claiming. And they didn't like it. They wanted to kill Him for it, in fact. There's that time in Mark, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 2. Oh, what a time it was. Can you imagine being there? Jesus enters into that man's house. And He's teaching the folks. And the house is so full. Can you imagine? Just folks crowded in that little old house to the place that nobody could even get in. And those men, they came with their friend on a litter. And they wanted to get him to Jesus so that Jesus might make him whole. They weren't going to let a full house stop them. They climbed up to the roof. Can you just think? We talk about how we see those pictures of them lowering their friend down in before Jesus. Did you see any pictures about them getting him up on the roof? Huh? I mean, think about it. They had to get him up on the roof before they could let him down in. They get him to Jesus. And Jesus says there in verse 6. Let me get back to it. I'll find it. Verse 5, that's it. Verse 5, he says, when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, the religious crowd didn't like that. They didn't like it. It says in verse 6, and there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. They're sitting back there on along the side of the wall saying, well, who does he think he is? Milking their chin and thinking, well, what is that? What's this about? In verse 7, why does this man thus speak blasphemies, they said. Notice they call him a man. Why does this man speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? On that point, they were absolutely right. There's only one that can forgive sin. There's only one that could forgive Jim Turner's sin. There's only one that can forgive your sin. And His God. Amen. Jesus forgave his sins. They knew what he was claiming. They knew that he was claiming to be God. They didn't like it. Oh my. God didn't create the Lord Jesus Christ that. He sent him. He sent his son. In John chapter 17 verse 18 where Jesus is there addressing his Father in what we have come to call that high priestly prayer. It's the Alps of the Scripture, beloved. And in John chapter 17 and verse 18, Jesus makes this statement. He says, as thou hast sent me. Huh? Who sent him? His Father. As thou hast sent me into the world. And he adds, even so have I also sent them, speaking of his disciples. Who sent him? His Father. His Father sent him. And that word sent there is both there and in our passage in Galatians is the word we translate the word apostle from. The word apostle describes one who is sent. Now, there's often times as I'm getting ready to leave the office, I'll get a text on my phone. On your way home, please stop. We're out of bread. We need butter. Or whatever. I'm being sent, folks. But I'm being sent with a commission. I'm being sent with a job to get done. The God of glory, the Father, sent His Son with a job to do. He sent Him with a commission, in fact, to accomplish a purpose to fulfill for Him. He was on a mission for His Father. As Thou hast sent me, He said to His Father. Beloved, brings us to our second point, the second of the ways we often describe the coming of God's Son. And that's where we go back to that passage in the Gospel of John. We'll get back to Galatians chapter 4 later and this evening as well. This evening's message will take up there. Probably one of the most familiar verses in all the Scriptures, John 3:16. Certainly one of the most familiar when we talk about this subject, for sure. God gave His Son. God sent His Son. God gave His Son. Gave His Son. Of course, the verse says, "For God so loved the world." That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. But have everlasting life. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 14, I love this verse. It says, "The Word was made flesh." Who's that word again? "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The 14th verse of that same chapter, it says, "And the Word was made flesh." The eternal Word of God took upon Himself flesh and blood. The Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. Listen to John. He says that we beheld His glory. We beheld His glory. Not just any glory, beloved. It was the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Full. Not half full, not partially full. Completely full. Grace and truth. The Bible makes it clear that God gave His only begotten Son. The words are clear. The words are very clear. They describe, now listen, they describe a uniquely and only born Son. Uniquely and the only one. There's not another Jesus. Huh? Now again, I don't want to pick, and I'm not wanting to be... I told the folks in Sunday school, as I get older, I think maybe I'm getting to be a little sweeter. Probably not. It's not like those Latter-day Saints say. He's not one of many. Huh? He's the only. Hey, how many? The only. The only begotten. The only born one of His Father. He is unique in and of Himself. He's not one of many born one. He's not one like you and I that was adopted into the family. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. Of who? Of the Father. Only begotten of the Father. We see then in this that He gave Him. God the Father gave God the Son. When I think of something about giving, especially this time of the year, we think about gifts. We think about gifts. So we see in this the gift of God's Son. The gift of His Son. Well, who was it that He gave this gift to? Well, the verse tells us that He gave to the world in a general sense. Generally speaking, it says, for because God so loved the world. What do we mean when we use that word world? Well, in this case, John's just referring to the world of mankind. The world of mankind. And when the Bible normally speaks of the world, it refers to the lost world. God was giving His Son to a world in great need. In great need. The world speaking of those who are perishing without hope beyond this life. Without hope. Those who are dying in their sin. Generally speaking, Jesus, God's Son, was a gift to this world. But specifically speaking, He was a gift, as it says in our verse, to whosoever will believe. Huh? What's it say? I just want to believe what the Bible says. God so loved this world. I'm thankful that it included me. He so loved this lost and He gave them so we would not perish. He gave them to a world that was perishing. And then whosoever. What? Not just those ones that are 6 foot tall and blonde headed with blue eyes. Huh? Not to a specific group, but to whosoever. Right. Whosoever would believe. Whosoever would place their faith and their trust in Him. In Him. It was given to them. God gave His Son, beloved. He sent His Son. Listen. He sent His Son to die. Huh? Oh, yeah. We love. I was last week mentioning how that nativity scene captures our imagination. But there's a shadow cast over that nativity scene. It's the shadow of a tree. 30-some years later, He would be nailed to. He came. Jesus gave His Son. He sent His Son to die. Now listen to this. Try to get our heads around it. He sent His Son to die so that you and I that deserved to die for our sins would not have to. Oh, He's wonderful. So that we would not have to die. But rather, we could have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Something else I've never got over. God's holy, beloved. Heaven's a holy place. God hates sin. Facts. Beloved, those are facts. Heaven is a holy place. Sin's ugly, and God hates it. We need to understand that our sin, not just sin. Now listen, not just sin. My sin, your sin, is in rebellion against the holy God. Huh? Get that. Get your head around that. It's not your neighbor's sin that sent Jesus to the cross. Huh? It's not that wicked guy down the road. It's your sin and my sin. Huh? that sent Jesus to that cross, that hideous, awful cross. For God, now listen, for God to permit us into His heavenly home, we had to be made right with Him. We had to be made right with Him. And for us to be right, to be made right with Him, my sin, your sin, had to be dealt with. It's the only way. There's no relationship with God except as our judge unless sin's dealt with. Unless I've been made right with Him. God gave His Son. God gave His Son. To deal with sin, God sent His Son. He sent His Son. God, now listen. God gave His Son to die in order to pay the price of our sin. Now I know we know those. I'm praying, I'm pleading with the Lord to get from here to here today. Huh? That it wouldn't be just facts. Become such a reality to us that we'd fall in love with Him. The gift of His love. In fact, it's the gift of His love. John 3:16 not only speaks of the giving of God's Son as a gift, but it also tells us the reason that God the Father gave His Son to this world. It tells us why. The words seem too trite. He gave His Son because He loved the world. For God so loved the world. But beloved, think about it. What amazes me? How can God love this world? How can God love such a wicked and rebellious world? How could God love the world and then give His only unique born Son to die for? Baffles me. But beloved, what baffles me more than that, now listen, it baffles me, it's beyond my understanding why God would give His only born, unique Son, Holy Son, to die for me. Huh? To die for me. Because when the lights go out, and it's just me, I know how wicked and dark I am. I know what I deserve. By the way, you ain't no better than me. I know what I deserve. I deserve the death. Now listen, I deserve the death that He died. I deserve, you don't understand this, I deserve to be nailed to that ugly tree. It's what I earned. It's what sin brought to me. The wrath and judgment of God for sin. But God gave His Son. God gave His Son. In spite of the darkness that is me. Huh? The Word of God says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, all the amazing words. God, now listen. There's some things in this book. God commendeth. It's as if He's, the idea of the word is, I'm holding it out to you. God commendeth His love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, It's an ugly word, beloved. The word sin is an ugly word. It's ugly. While we were yet sinners, what's it say? Christ died for us. God sent His Son. God gave His Son for us. Wow. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, God's sent one, accomplished that mission that God the Father sent His Son to do. He accomplished the mission. How do you know, preacher? Well, Jesus Himself declared He did. The last words that come out of His sinless lips before He gave up the ghost was, "It is finished. I completed it all. Father, I've completed the mission that You sent me on. It's done. I've paid the price." The reason God sent His Son, as we said, was He loves. He loves His creation, if we can say it that way. He loves His creation, and because of that love, He sent His Son to die for the people of His creation. That's you and me. That's us. Why would He do that? Now listen again, I know this is nothing new, but I'm trying to drive it into our hearts. He did that. He sent His Son. He gave His Son to die for us. So again, why? That we would not die. That we would not perish. You know what that word perish means? John 3:16, John 3:15. The idea of the word is to be destroyed. That we would not perish, but have, not perish, have everlasting life. Amen. God sent His Son for that. God gave His Son for that purpose, oh Lord. You know, our God takes no pleasure and a single soul would perish. In fact, the Bible says that He is not willing, listen, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God isn't willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. Dear friend, the question has to be asked. What about you? What about you? Are you perishing? What do you mean, preacher? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know this one that God sent? I'm not asking if you know about Him. You could grow up in church. You could hear Jesus talked about in Sunday school class and the pastor preach and teach and on for years and years and years. You can be the member of a church for decades, hear preaching and not knowing. Do you know Him? Do you know this one that God sent? When? At the exact right time. Do you know this one that God gave to be the payment for your sin? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? What the John 3:6, whosoever believeth in Him, whosoever will put their faith and their trust in Him. Huh? Now, every man-made religion gives you something to do. Whether it's the five pillars of Islam, whether it's the sacraments of this church or that church, they all give you something. It's man-made. Huh? It's false religion. God says, believe. What's his requirement? Trust me. Trust me. Put your faith in me, Jesus says. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Huh? Do you know him? Do you know him? What a shame to spend an hour talking about what God did to give us his son, to send his son, and leave this place and not know him. How sad that would be. It breaks my heart. Imagine how it would break God's heart. We worship him. We celebrate him, oh my. The wonder of Jesus. The wonder of Jesus. Let's stand together. Father, I just bow before you this morning and Lord, I'm just so thankful for your son. Lord, words just don't have the ability to express to you how grateful we are. Well, I realize that we cannot even begin to comprehend the kind of love that you had for us. How we rebel. How we go our own way. How your son has been rejected. And yet you loved us. Loved us and was willing to sacrifice him. That we might be forgiven. Might be forgiven. Be made right with you. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning I'm praying. Lord, I don't know who might be in this room today that is yet without Christ, that doesn't know Christ, doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. And Father, wherever the preacher failed, wherever the preacher wasn't able to make things clear, I pray that you would blow the mist away, the clouds away, and just leave us with Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd hold him before folks today. And Lord, if there's one, even one man, dear lady, young person, a teenager, or even a child, Lord, please help them. Help them to see Jesus and what he did for them. That his death on that cross for sin was for them today. Oh, Father, please. Please, if you'd be pleased to simply draw folks to yourself. Even as we pray that there might be those ones in our midst that would be calling out to you, Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me, a sinner, and one in need of forgiveness. Lord, please. But Lord, for us that are saved, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't take you for granted, wouldn't take Jesus for granted, wouldn't become just academic, wouldn't become cold and some sterile thing. But, oh, Father, the heart of God would beat in our chest. That a love for you would in some measure be of that love that you had for us. Oh God, please work in our hearts, work in our lives today for your glory, for your honor. And we'll give you the praise for it, Lord, not us, not this church. We'll give the praise to the God of glory. It's in His name, Jesus' name, the wonderful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You have a song for us, John?
Page 543.
Friend, as we sing, please don't hesitate. I don't know what the need of your heart might be today. Maybe you just want to get in this altar and pray, Lord, enlarge my heart for you. Enlarge my capacity for you, Lord Jesus. And it may be you're here, and if you were absolutely honest with yourself, you'd have to admit that you don't know if you're saved or lost. You don't know if you're perishing or if you have everlasting life. Don't go home that way. Please, don't go home that way. Please, if we can help you, we're here. Someone will take you, show you what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you. Please, if God's speaking to your heart, please obey Him. Do what He'd have you to do today as we sing.
I gave my life for Thee, my precious blood I shed, that Thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory-circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for Thee. Hast Thou left aught for me? I left it all for Thee. What hast Thou left aught for me? I suffered much for Thee, more than Thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue Thee from hell. I've borne it all for Thee. What hast Thou borne for me? I've borne it all for Thee. thee. What hast thou borne for me? And I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought to me? I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransomed be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory-circled throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me? I left it all for thee. Hast thou left aught for me?
It's 41 years ago in December. Wish I could remember the exact day of the month it was. I just can't. But it was 41 years ago this month, 1974. That I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it all the time, but I'm just thankful I never got over it. Never got over it. He's a special, no, he's not as. He's more real in my life today than he ever has been. Jesus Christ. The wonder of Jesus, folks. What a great God he is. We're going to see some more things from this passage in Galatians this evening, so please be back in your place. God's good. I don't know. I've enjoyed myself this morning. Amen. It's been good to be in the house. It's been good to be with you. Amen. Brother John, come if you would. Lord bless you.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, so come all ye faithful.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem.